Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 334, Glass Suitcase, Monday, September 16th, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: news and events, yarn lover at large, on the porch, ever expanding skill set, and off the shelf. Hello and welcome, everyone. It is an absolutely stunning late summer day here at my home near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. The sun is shining. It's slanting in at that angle that the sun takes on this part of the globe this time of year. And there are a lot of late blooming flowers in my garden, which is really wonderful. I've been trying to attract new wildlife with plantings of native species of plants. And one indication of that is that there is at least one pair of goldfinch who have taken up residence and are spending a lot of time picking all of the seeds out of my coneflower or echinacea seed heads in the garden. There's also really wonderful cosmos blooming, and I'm collecting and drying seeds from both of those. And the nasturtium that I started from seed this spring kind of limped along. It had a big struggle during the drought in late May and early June, but now it has taken off and it's really blooming and falling all over the place. And I'm looking forward to collecting those seeds again and planting them in spring. So it's been a dry and beautiful few weeks here in early September. And I've been finishing up a lot of knitting projects. So I'm going to tell you about those as well as some things I've started. And I have a bunch of news and events also to share. This podcast is made possible in part by generous contributions through Ko-fi. Thank you so much to folks who support me through Ko-fi. It is nearly time for a drawing of the quarter three prizes. I will do that in the next episode, episode 335. And all you need to do to be in the running for those is to be a monthly contributor or to make a one-time contribution to the podcast through Ko-fi. There are links on the website. By September 22nd. It's about that time to sign up for the Yarns at Yinhu Puzzle Exchange. And I'm thrilled that folks are signing up for this exchange already. If this is the first time you're hearing about it, this is your opportunity to exchange a puzzle that you will make over the course of December, because the puzzle will have been put together in small segments by your puzzle exchange partner, and there will also be small gifts to open along the way. There is a complete episode, short episode, all about the puzzle exchange, and that is episode 331. So if you're not familiar with what this is and you're curious, give episode 331 a listen. You can also post any question that you have to my Instagram account or to the discussion board on Ravelry, like Ellen did. Ellen asked if she could use the same puzzle this year, this coming year, that she received from her swap partner last year. And the response is yes, because everyone who already participated will be paired with a new partner in the upcoming year. Signups are through a Google form that asks you some basic information. And all you need to do right now is to think about the puzzle that you'd like to use for the exchange and to get signed up. And all of the dates and information are available on the website. I have been gathering up gifts for my swap partner, and I've already made and separated out my puzzle, and I'm starting to get really ramped up for this event. I'm hopeful that we can continue growing in our participation. It's a great thing to have something small to look forward to each day in December to help make that season very special and also to make a new friend. The back porch. I have three knitting finishes since the last time I recorded an episode. The first finish is the eyelet kerchief designed by Leela Raven. I knit this with gorgeous Palisades yarn from Cornwall Yarn Shop in a charcoal colorway with some pops of silk mohair yarn. And this was a gift. I photographed it. I've already sent it off to the recipient, and I'm looking forward to hearing how she enjoys her gift. I have also finished the rib wave designed by Joanna Ang, and I knit this with my hand spun. I did a little video of my finished object for Instagram, and I've posted a link to that in Ravelry. I'll also link it in the show notes for this episode. I'm super, super pleased with the way this came out. It's an absolutely beautiful garment. I very much enjoyed knitting Joanna Ang's pattern, and I'm looking forward to this as a potential Rhinebeck sweater. Weather permitting, this is a warm wool sweater with long sleeves. And if we are blessed at Rhinebeck with a day like today, I don't think it will be suitable, but you know, maybe there'll be some cool weather in the morning and I can put that on. And I'm looking forward also to sewing a skirt, a wool skirt, to complete this as an outfit. And I will be doing that in the coming weeks. I really can't recommend this rib wave enough. It's just a beautifully feminine design without being fussy. It has cables without being tedious, and it has a drapey fit and some beautiful elegance to it while still being the kind of sweater that you could throw over jeans or kind of wear for every day. It really hits like right in the middle of a lot of, you know, the spectrums of what you can achieve with knitwear. And the fact that I was able to pull this off with my own hand spun is pretty great. I'm feeling pretty good about that because that was a really big put out of fingering weight yarn that was a 2-ply. And I still have, I don't know, maybe about 40 grams or so remaining, which would be nice for perhaps a small cowl or something that would help turn that into a turtleneck or be something that I could accompany the sweater with. I don't have much hair these days, so I am thinking about how to keep the back of my neck warm when I'm wearing some of these sweaters. And maybe having something that kind of turned it into the function of a turtleneck when I'm wearing it under a jacket or a coat could be helpful. I'm not sure if I have enough yarn for that. The Shepherd's Hay fleece was just super gorgeous to work with, and it was an amazing experience, really slowing down the making to that degree. This has been more than a year in the making, and I'm very proud to have some super slow fashion in my work. My third finished object is a sewing and embroidery project. We had a jazz festival in Delaware Water Gap. It's a long-running jazz festival that runs traditionally the weekend after Labor Day. And at Orange, we hosted an event called Jazzed, which featured music-themed works of art. And at the opening, we had a jazz trio, and folks were able to come in and see all of these beautiful pieces over the course of the weekend, and they're still up. I had it as a goal to complete something that I could enter into the show, and so I made a short sleeve tee. I did not hand sew the tee. I machine sewed a cropped tee in some beautiful linen blend that I picked up at Propagate Studio, which is art supply thrift store that's not too far from me in Warren County, New Jersey. And I sewed the top, and then onto the front of it, I created an embroidery design that features the first few bars of a Bob Doro tune called Small Day Tomorrow. If you're of a certain age, you may recall Schoolhouse Rock. That featured Bob Doro. It was the brainchild of a local talent here, very well known in this area. He passed not too many years ago and is revered for his contributions to education as well as the jazz community, and is a mentor to many up-and-coming jazz musicians such as Nellie Mackay. And so I wanted to honor his contributions with my entry into this show. And I was able to complete the project that I had envisioned. And it held up pretty well to what I imagined and what I was able to produce. Really helpful in that process was using the absolutely gorgeous botanically dyed sashiko and embroidery threads from Ramble and Roots. The dyer for Ramble and Roots, it's an Etsy shop, is local. Her name is Toni, and I'm so pleased to know her and to be able to work with her. And most of the threads in the small collection that I have were a gift, and I decided to use them exclusively as I was embroidering this shirt. I did post some photographs on social media, and I'll include one in the show notes here. So far, this tee does not have a buyer, but it's been admired in the show. And like I said, I'm set that goal of completing something for the show, and I'm really pleased to have pulled that off. Since completing all of those items, I have cast on for the eyelet drop shoulder sweater designed by Leela Raven, and I am using new to me and new to the knitting universe, yarn from Upland Fiber Co. This is a new yarn company who has their yarn spun at Battenkill Fiber Mill. So Mary Jean Packer was the one who recommended this company to me. And currently they have a yarn base called Core because it's 50% Cormo, 50% Corriedale. You can just imagine the hand and the way this yarn takes the dye. And they have it available in fingering weight and I believe either a DK or a worsted. I ordered the pewter colorway, which is kind of like a silvery gray, and so I'm using that as the main color in this eyelet sweater, and then I'm using some leftover mohair silk from Pearl Soho in the, I think it's the saffron colorway and Anjou pear colorway, so a really deep saturated gold and then this beautiful kind of silvery peach color. And those two colors will be the contrast colors for some garter stitch bands in this sweater. I'm working on that. What I would really love to be able to do is have it completed for when I hopefully make a quick stop at the Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 22nd. I'm taking a little bit of a road trip and spending some time with folks from Battenkill Fiber Mill at a mill event that precedes this festival on Friday, and then visiting my sister in Vermont on Saturday, and then hopefully making a quick pit stop at the festival in Washington County, New York, on my way back down, because I would love to meet the folks behind this yarn. I would love to have a finished project by the time I do that. We'll see. We'll see. This knits up quickly. Having knit the eyelet kerchief and now transitioning to the drop shoulder, since it's knit in the round for the body of the sweater, there are many fewer purl stitches and the knitting goes pretty quickly, even though, you know, it's kind of like an oversized loose sweater with a lot of stitches on the needles. It's super fun to knit. I like the pops of color, and I'm really enjoying using this yarn from Upland Fiber Co. Another finish knit, okay, I said there were three knit finishes. Another finish knit is a collaboration. So this is the season of lots of fiber festivals here in the Northeast region, and another one that's happening nearby is the Lehigh Valley Fiber Festival. My friend Hope Horn of Hope's Favorite Things will be vending at that festival. It's all indoors, so you don't need to worry about the weather. She's vending, and one of the things that she will have available at her booth is a yarn called Slate Belt, and that refers to the Slate Belt region of Northeast Pennsylvania. And the wool for this yarn is all from various farms and various breeds in this area, and with 2% Angora added. So it has a little bit of fuzz and texture to it. It's a really great yarn to knit with. I used it when I knit some mitts about, I don't know, maybe almost 2 years ago now. I combined this Slate Belt with some black Welsh Mountain from Ross Farm to knit a beautifully warm and a little bit fuzzy pair of mittens. Hope has been dyeing some of this Slate Belt yarn with botanical dyes. And so we collaborated on a mushroom cowl. This is kind of a specific pattern that I edited up a little bit, that's in a update from my Deep in the Forest cowl pattern with a beautiful textural mushroom pattern that circles the cowl. And I chose two of her botanically dyed colors as well as an undyed skein and knit up a sample for her booth and created a pattern that she could print and include in a kit. So those will be available at the Lehigh Valley Fiber Festival this coming weekend if you're going there, plus lots of other stuff at Hope's shop. If you are attending, stop by Hope's Favorite Things and say hello to Hope. Check out her wares. This past weekend, I spent a few hours at the Garden State Sheep Breeders Festival in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. Way back when I was a youngster, the Flemington Fair was all the rage and kind of marked the end of summer and the beginning of school. The property where we had the Flemington Fair is now a lot of big box stores. And the fairgrounds have been moved further south to some beautiful farm country near Ringgoes, New Jersey. So I headed there and met up with friend and colleague Jen, who's a relatively new knitter. And we took in the festival together. It is the perfect festival for like a 3 or 4 hour visit. We were able to see everything that was there. I like to start with the fleece sale, and I was very tempted by a fleece from Little Blackberry, the Shetland sheep, but I did not leave with a fleece. Actually, I didn't leave with much. I did some gift shopping there and really was a spectator to Jen's shopping because she is a super shopper. She had a list. She was ready. She, you know, was really saw a lot of things at the festival that I didn't and picked up supplies she needed. It was really fun to go around with her because, you know, her perspective in terms of needs and tools is very different from someone who's been knitting for a long time. So it gave me fresh eyes. One of the booths I was very happy to shop was Jewel, J-U-L, and she carries clasps and fasteners and all kinds of accessories for holding your knitwear together or for using as a shawl clasp. Her things are modern. They're made with the same quality as high quality jewelry. She is ever inventive, and there's kind of like a little bit of an edge to the things that she does. They don't look old fashioned or dated. I really like her work. I had bought some pieces from her when I visited her at the festival that shall not be named prior to Rhinebeck last year. And this past weekend, I picked up a leather band that she has since added that can be combined. A lot of her different pieces can be combined. And I'm also looking forward to a pattern that she will hopefully be putting out for the piece that she was wearing while she vended at the show, which is not particularly sculptural in itself as a knitted item, but combined with her hardware, it is really edgy and fun. And I think it would be fun to knit and to wear. So I'm looking forward to that. If you get a chance to shop her wares, I highly recommend it. And she has a wonderful website as well. I also visited the North Country Spinners booth and sat and spun with some of their members for a while. And I was super happy to visit with Ann Choi of the New Jersey Fiber Shed. Ann was doing some botanical stamping with different kinds of flowers and leaves. And she had a lot of people really interested in what was going on and coming up to her table, which was right next to the fleece sale. Anne reminded me that she has an event coming up in October in conjunction with the Newark Museum of Newark, New Jersey. And it features opportunities for Black and Indigenous people of color to engage in weaving. And so I want to make sure that listeners know about that, promote it to people you know who might have interest, and I will put a link to the signups for that event in the show notes. Anne has been working on being inclusive and engaging people in the fiber arts, and this collaboration with Newark Museum represents a really big step in doing that and getting the kind of, you know, visibility, and in an urban area where folks can be attracted to the different things she has to teach and opportunities for learning in a conjunction with a museum setting. So this is super exciting, an extension of wonderful things that she's already been doing. And so I want to help promote it as much as possible. So look for those links. ever-expanding skill set. I have continued to enjoy the Six Seasons cookbook I mentioned in an earlier episode. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself and start making all of the fall recipes right now. It's technically not fall, and there's plenty of time for root vegetables and acorn squash and those kinds of things. Instead, I've been trying to really maximize that last kiss of summer that's available around this area in the form of sweet corn and tomatoes. I have absolutely beautiful basil. One of the varieties has faltered, but another continues to go strong. So I've been trying to really enjoy those things at my table and also do a bit of gardening and preserving, kind of gardening light. I always think of my mother, Kathleen, at this time of year. She would be very busy bringing in all the vegetables from her garden and doing a lot of canning. And though I am not putting anything in jars, I have taken measures to preserve and keep a couple of different summer flavors and prepare for the upcoming year. I mentioned saving seeds, so certainly I'll be saving the seeds of Dyer's Cosmos, Echinacea, as well as Nasturtium. And I've made several batches of beautiful basil pesto, and I freeze them in some silicone ice cube trays and then bag up those cubes for very easy use later on. And the final thing that I plan to do, I'm actually working on it right now, is to make a recipe from the Six Seasons cookbook called Tomato Conserva. And it's a tomato paste. Where I come from, to preserve the flavors of tomato, we have cooked it down on the stovetop. This recipe starts that way, but then it ends up with putting the tomato sauce, because it's kind of a sauce when you finish it on the stovetop, into the oven to further concentrate the flavors. And this sounds really exciting to me. So I have some high quality olive oil and tomatoes. Those are the only ingredients. And it's currently cooking down in my oven. And the goal is to take 8 pounds of tomatoes and reduce it to about 2 cups of this luxuriously dense concentrated tomato paste. And I believe I will also be putting that into my silicone ice cube trays to create cubes that I can freeze for later use. The cubes are great because it's very easy to pull a few out of the freezer and drop them into whatever dish that you're making. So it's super convenient. And just the thought of kind of harnessing that energy and sweetness and light of summer and putting it into the freezer for later use is just so powerful. So thinking about that, I was trying to find a poem about this time of year and putting food by, and I came upon a poem called Canning by Joyce Sutphen. It's what she does and what her mother did. It's what I'd do if I were anything like her mother's mother, or if the times demanded that I work in my garden, planting rows of beans and carrots, weeding the pickles and potatoes, picking worms off cabbages. Today she's canning tomatoes, which means there are baskets of red jubilees waiting on the porch, and she's been in the cellar looking for jars. There's a box of lids and a heap of gold rings on the counter. She gets the spices out. She revs the engine of the old stove. I say that if there were degrees in canning, she would be summa cum laude. God knows she spent as many hours at the sink peeling the skins off hot tomatoes as I have bent over a difficult text. I see her at the window filling up the jar, packing a glass suitcase for the winter. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week and that it includes time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.